welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life.
Excited to have you here. Excited to hear your story. If you could tell us a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what you do, and where you've come from.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for having me, Ben. Again, Jeff Bishop. I'm the co-founder of RagingBull.com. And I come from very humble beginnings, really. I don't come from a big financial background. Don't come from a family of money. Kind of figured things out and built things along the way by myself. And I'm pretty proud of what we've been able to accomplish and build over the years. Yeah, so I mean, most people know where I stand now with RagingBull.com, but the story of how I got here is really a convoluted path. I never intended to get here, but just kind of happened over the years. So I guess early on, I had several small businesses over the years. I got that from my mom, actually. She was always entrepreneurial. She was kind of handicapped, so she wasn't able to hold down a real job, but she always found ways to contribute to the family by creating crafts or cards or quilting or whatever she could do, little craft fairs we would go to all the time and try to sell knickknacks to different shops around the area. So even as a small kid, I remember trying to help her out and, you know, participate in building some of the crafts with her and doing her small business things. Never amounted to anything financially, but it was a good experience for me. And I think it really rooted me in hard work and the fact that I could go do something and I could create something from scratch. So I always had this entrepreneurial bent to me. And all my parents didn't have money, so it wasn't like I was going to go to a great college. I ended up going to University of Texas, which has a great state system, fortunately. And this was 20 years ago. It's back when you could actually afford to pay for college. So I was able to work my way through college and pay for it at the same time. I wasn't a great student, so I didn't have a scholarship, wasn't a great athlete, didn't anything there. So I worked my way through college. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, but I was always fascinated by the stock market. So I started with a degree in finance. It's my undergraduate degree. That took me about 6 or 7 years. I've gotten married early in the process and that. So my wife and I both worked through college together. While she was doing her MBA, I was doing my undergrad in finance. And
6 or 7 years it took Jeff to get through college as he worked his way through. Now, some might call that a failure, but I see it as persistence. I think it says something about Jeff. How did he learn to have that attitude is the question. Oftentimes, the wisdom we need to acquire the success and acquire the wealth comes from the things that we're taught. True enough. Other times, it comes from what we consistently observe. And Jeff's mom clearly showed him what it meant to work hard, to stick with it in the face of struggle, and to be an entrepreneur. These important lessons would be just the wisdom Jeff needed as he tried his own hand being a small business owner after graduating college.
Like you said, I had a landscape business. It didn't take a lot of capital to start up, so I was able to, you know, buy a truck, a trailer, some mowers, and I had a decent little business doing that in Texas for a few years. I sold used cars from my house, and we had a little lot for a while where I scraped together some capital and went to the auctions and bought cars and sold cars and learned about marketing that way. Had a bagel shop for almost a year. I did roofing. I did all kinds of little jobs along the way. Never really quite found the thing I wanted to do. And I always had this idea of taking a business like landscaping. I mean, that's not a glamorous business at all, but I thought I could grow it and to build something scalable and big. I was in the Dallas area, so I thought I'd have a big landscape business at one time. And along the way, one of my landscape clients, his name is Bob. He pulled me aside one time and said, you know, Jeff, I get where you're at. I was in your position one time, but it's really not the way you want to go in life. You really need to put your mind to something else. And he really encouraged me that I had a mind for business and finance in particular. So he kind of helped me with some of how he had learned about the stock market And he lived off his investments at this point. So he lived off of dividends off of AT&T and stocks like that. And I was fascinated by it. I thought it was incredible. So that was one of those pivotal things in my life that kind of refocused me on the fact that if I could figure out finance and I could get in the stock market, that maybe that was going to be something that would change my life. I was going to put my hand at anything I could that I thought I could make a dollar at. I got fired from 15 different jobs in my life.
After a season of small business endeavors, Jeff was more excited than ever about the stock market. So he tried to find a job related to the market. And when he couldn't find one, like so many do, he took any job he could find. And it did not go well. And it led him to one of the lowest moments of his life. Now, in life, it's often easy to reflect on those pivotal moments that shape our path after the fact. But at the time, they seem less philosophical and far more immediate. Jeff shared one such moment with me when he got fired from his regular job for trading at work just before Christmas, right after his first son was born.
The thing that pushed me over the edge, I think, was there was a job that I had in, I had just graduated. This was a few years later. So I just graduated from my undergrad degree. I had my finance degree. I wanted to work for a hedge fund. I thought that sounded like just a great job.
Sure.
I wanted to work on Wall Street, work at a hedge fund. It turns out they don't hire guys from Texas that didn't have a good GPA or a good background at hedge funds.
Huh.
I know this. So I didn't get a good job. I applied to lots of places. And, you know, I actually knew more about the stock market than most people that came out of college, I felt, because I was actually trying to trade my own money. I didn't have much, but I was trading. And we didn't have the internet really back then so much, but there was reading the newspaper every day and looking at stock charts, and I as much as I could, I was reading about the market, and I really had a passion about it, so I felt like I knew a lot, but I was not getting hired anywhere. I did get hired at this real estate investment company in Dallas right out of college, and I was making about $30,000 a year, so it was great. I had a guaranteed paycheck. I would get up in the morning and put on a tie and drive into Dallas and go sit at a crummy cubicle. And what I was really doing was just glorified accounting. I was just taking numbers off of one sheet and writing them on another sheet and sending them on to a supervisor all day. So it was just mind-numbing work. I hated it. And so what I would end up doing is I'd pull up my Ameritrade account during the day, and I'd watch charts all day, and I'd trade here and there and do a little bit of work in between. And my boss, again, pulled me into her office one day and said, we can see everything you're doing on your computer because we have logs.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, I just have this up. I'm not actually, she would say like, you're on your computer like 7 hours a day on Ameritrade. I said, well, I'm not really on it's up, but I'm not on the computer.
I'm just watching.
Yeah. Just watching it, got to do something here.
Yep.
And I got a warning, and then it was like a month later, I couldn't keep doing its work. So I was still on the computer trading stocks here and there. And it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, and they fired me from that job.
Jeff went on to tell me what was worse than losing his job was telling his wife, Melissa. After this, they decided that she would work and he would stay home with their new son. Soon, Jeff found himself playing a lot of online poker, where some days he'd win a lot and other days he'd lose his shirt. Till one day it was clear that this wouldn't lead him anywhere good. If that was the end of the story, you may think Jeff just continued to bounce around for the rest of his life, but he did anything but that. As you'll hear, Jeff went through this low season of trial and error and failure and allowed it to build for him a foundation of knowledge from which to rebuild. As Tony Robbins says, there is no such thing as failure, only result. The result of these hard years for Jeff were learning experiences, from landscaping to roofing, whether it was selling used cars or bagels or getting fired from 15 jobs. Jeff learned what worked and what didn't, what he was capable of, running a business, and what he wasn't, being an employee. And most importantly, what he was still passionate about, the stock market. With the encouragement of Bob and lessons learned, Jeff would take his next big step. He would start building his company, RagingBull.com.
So everybody sees Raging Bull now. It's a big, successful company. And, you know, we see our ads all over the place. And we have thousands and thousands of members in our services. And it's great. But it was an overnight success that took 20 years to build. It was a lot of behind-the-scenes work that went into it to get it to where it is today. I go back to my early days in college. I found out I was fascinated with stock options. So the whole mathematical way they work and how you can leverage money to make a lot of money off of stock really fascinated me. So I've always had an interest there. And I dabbled in stock and option trading about 10 years after college, maybe even in college, as I just had a little bit of money playing with. And, you know, after about 10 years, it really started to click for me. So I was able to find ways that I could be consistently successful, and I had new strategies I was always testing out. And I was able to help people along the way to also learn about trading. Jason Bond, one of the first guys that I worked with and became, you know, he became really successful. Most people know him now. He's my co-founder at Raging Bull. And he's built a really successful stock trading education service also, where people learn how he trades. And he's been able to take what I've taught him and now teach thousands of other people. And many of them have gone on to teach other people as well. So I'm really proud of that fact. And along the way, I really learned what stock traders and small investors were looking for and what they needed to become successful. So it was about a decade of learning really, you know, what they wanted in the market and what they were looking for. And, you know, when we launched Raging Bull about 8 years ago, I feel like I really had a good pulse of what people wanted at that time. What did traders want to see? What did the people who were buying our service, what were we looking for? So I've always had an eye on, you know, how to make sure our customers are happy and how to grow the business overall. And the last few years, it's just really taken off. We've added lots of educators, and we've really dialed in our marketing. And as a business overall, we've really kind of figured things out. We brought some great people on along the way.
As Jeff mentioned, his business, RagingBull.com, was an overnight success that took 20 years to build. But as we've seen, it was from the hard work he learned in his childhood to his many failed jobs and small business endeavors that Jeff acquired the wisdom he needed to make the right decisions for his company and his wealth to grow. He went on to share some of that wisdom with us, so get your notepad ready. He shares what he learned along the way about how to build a business, make decisions, handle debt, and how Jeff thinks most people will be able to build their wealth.
There's a few things. I think, number one, you have got to, if you're going to build a business, and building a business is where I think most people are going to find their most wealth in life. I know a few successful stock traders who have made a lot of money, but most people I've met in life who have made a lot of money or become really successful, they've built a business. They've built something from scratch and, you know, it's put their sweat and labor into it and built something over the years. So the first thing I would encourage people to do is find a business that you can build. Everybody really has a gifting and they're successful at something that they do. They just need to find out what that is and start pursuing it. So it, you know, it almost sounds cliche, but you know, everybody's good at something. You just need to find that thing that really you're passionate about and go after it. And you know, some things are going to be more lucrative than others, but no matter what your passion is, that you can really take that and leverage it into a business. And the other thing, of course, is just hard work. I think people give up too easily. They want things to come quickly. They want it to be easy. They want to be overnight successes, but that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in trading. It doesn't happen in business. Everything that's worth something is going to be hard work, and you've got to be willing to commit to it. So I've really just found that discipline and hard work is in short supply nowadays. So people that have that really can stand out.
Mm.
Yeah. I always tell people I have learned almost everything in life from trading stocks and playing poker. I think these two things teach you so much about how you should act in the world. So in poker, I think one great takeaway I come away with is you just don't always go all in. You really manage your bets well. You take risks. So in business, we got to take risks all the time. If we're trading, we're taking risks all the time, but they're calculated and we always know that it may not work out. So we're not really going to push all the chips in too often. We're going to take calculated risks and hope we're right more often than we're not. We're going to try to build our stack of chips, or in trading, it's going to be your portfolio size gets bigger. But I think you really need to focus on small calculated risks and growing slowly to get to where you want to go. It doesn't have to be fast. So I think if you're just consistently making good decisions in business or trading, you're going to get to where you want to eventually. I think that's one problem that a lot of people have. They want it to happen too quick. So they're, you know, they're taking too many risks when they shouldn't be, or they're just trying to make it happen too quickly when they're not putting the time into it like it should. One thing that really holds people back is trying to micromanage everything in life. And if you do that in business, you are really hindering yourself because there's just so much chaos. There's so many things going on all the time. I think that one thing that we really need to focus on is just compartmentalizing thing by thing in our life. So we can't deal with everything at once. I think women are actually really good at that, but I think guys are really poor at it. but we're really good at handling that one task in front of us right now. So like for me, I'm really good at handling that one task I can put my mind to right now at this moment. I tend to go to 1,000 different things during the day, but in that one moment, I'm just focusing on that one thing. I'm not multitasking. I'm just doing that one thing and not worrying about the other things that are happening right now. I'll get to that when I can get to it. So trying to worry about things that you really can't control is just a waste of time, and it just prevents you from making the right decisions that you should be doing. And one big thing I've always been wary of is debt in people's lives. So my parents were in debt their entire life. They lived paycheck to paycheck, and you know, they really never got ahead. They were always renting a house and always, you know, had car loans, and they had all kinds of debt they never could get above. So they never had the freedom to make any kind of choice in life. There was never a choice where they could have stopped working to go pursue a small business. That just wasn't possible. And I think so many people find themselves in a similar situation. I was not going to take on any kind of debt in life. Like I said, I paid my way through college. I always drove a crummy car. We lived in a $20,000 house when we first got married. So, you know, we didn't have a mortgage at the time, but we lived in a $20,000 house. So imagine what that looks like. But I was so against debt in life because not just the fact of having debt is bad, but it just limits your choices. And I never wanted to be limited in what I was going to do. So that's what gave me the freedom to go experiment where, well, maybe I'll be a bagel guy today, or maybe I'll be a landscape guy today, or maybe I'll go work at an investment company. I don't know. When you don't have debt, then you're able to at least overcome a lot of those things because, you know, you don't have obligations to someone else to pay off all this money you don't have. So I think that's always been a big thing, and that's enabled me to take a lot of chances that, you know, some people just can't take. So that's, if anyone's watching this or listening to it, really stay out of debt, get yourself out of debt as fast as you can. And, just put yourself in a position where you can make the choices you want to make. As a company, we've never taken on debt. We've had lots of offers for venture capital and people want to loan us money, but I'd rather just grow slowly and just grow organically to get to where we are. And, you know, years later, I'm really happy about it. So early on, it was very, very tempting. But in hindsight, that would have been, I probably would have been a terrible mistake because, you know, when you take someone else's money, you're giving up control of what you're trying to build. You're now having to build their vision. You're obligated to do what they want you to do. And, you know, a person loaning you significant money is only interested about getting the money back. They don't have a long-term vision for the company or what you're doing. So for me, I've always been interested in saying, you know what, I'm doing this today, but I want to make sure I'm doing this years from now. So I don't want to ever put my company in a position where we're not going to be able to do this, or we could potentially lose everything because we can't make a debt payment or something like that.
There is wisdom in those words. Be patient. Managing risk, staying focused, and avoiding debt all were vital to Jeff's success. But once you have the success and have built the wealth, then what? How do you use what you've built to not just be rich, but to live a rich life? Jeff talked about this, his motivation, what he's learned about money, and what his driving motivation has been in all of this, and what it continues to be.
You know, money is a driver, of course, but for me, it's never really been the driver. I've always been interested in building something, whether it's just like an empire building or just creating something. I have this desire to create things more than anything. So to create this company, what gets me up every morning and makes me stay late working, and if you know, I'm on late every day working on the stuff. So I'm kind of consumed with it, but I love creating something more than anything else. And the money comes along with that. The money's great, but it's not really the target to go after. So each month I'm not saying, okay, I want to make this much money now, or I got to get to this number. I remember early on, I was just so focused on making $1 million. That was just the thing that, I don't know what it was, but I had to hit that. It was so unattainable for me, coming from a guy making, a few hundred bucks a week cutting grass, to say, man, I'm going to make $1 million. That was kind of like a line that I'd drawn. And honestly, that happened much quicker than I thought it ever would. And then once I did that, that was kind of like the only milestone I ever had money-wise that I wanted to do. It's just, it is what it is. Money is great, but it's not really the thing that drives me or focuses me more than anything else. I'm glad to build the wealth. I like managing it and seeing what I can do with it, mainly because it helps me create more things, I think. It gives me the flexibility to create more. So, with wealth, I've now got the option to look at opportunities that I may have never had before to go build something or buy something new. I've known a lot of guys that have true wealth where I think it's like bulletproof. They've built a moat around their money and they're set, man. That's bulletproof. They can't get to it. They've got money stashed and they've got walls built up and, bad things are going to happen, but they've built wealth and that is going to be enduring for them and their family and their kids' kids even. So that's what I consider wealth, is a goal of wealth. But guys who are just looking to get rich, I think that's a different thing. It's so quick. And I've seen guys get rich and lose money really fast. That's not wealth at all. There's a difference in mindset, I think, between wealth and rich. So many people didn't think they could outspend their money, and sure, you can. So really protect it. Look for ways to grow it. I always think true wealth is when you could live off of the investments you've made. Mm-hmm. And those are consistent. Those are solid investments. Not like some stock that might be gone tomorrow, but you've invested in things that are paying you return year after year, and you could then live on that comfortably. That's wealth. One thing is, I think people just think that money is going to make them happy. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but money solves a few problems, but it really does truly not make you happy. It's the things that do make you happy are sharing that money and wealth with your friends and your family and the people around you, right? Mm. That's the best. So use that wealth to enhance your relationships and spend time with the people and loved ones around you that are important. I mean, those are things you can't replace. So, man, I'm really thankful to have money. It's great. It sure is better than not having it. But it's not the end all being. America is probably the best place in the world where you can attain it. America affords you the opportunity to fail a lot and still recover and continue to grow on and pursue your dreams. So it's an amazing place we live in. So take advantage of that. And don't ever think that you can't attain something that you want. There's no reason that you can't get to the place that you want to be one day. So I wouldn't say go out and copy someone else's lifestyle, because that's not at all what it is. But everyone's got a dream of what's going to make them successful and what true success and happiness is in their life, what it is to be self-made or self-directed for them. And there's no reason you can't get there. So maybe it happens with trading stocks or being in the market. Maybe it's a business. There's something that could get you there, and there's no reason that you can't do it. Everyone who has done it, I can tell you, they are not truly that special. They worked hard for the most part. They followed some rules. They were disciplined. They got there. But the more people that I've met in my life that are just truly successful, they were just average guys too. They're just normal people who just did it, And there's no reason that you can't do that. So just keep pursuing it. Don't think it has to happen this year or next year. It's a path. It's a lifetime path that'll get you there, but you can do it.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. To discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. The Raging Bull podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.